Welcome to the Mosaic of Marion, a weekly podcast hosted by Dr. Henry M. Meadows, Jr. and presented by Marion Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. It is our sincere hope that you'll join us each week as we explore what it means to be part of God's big picture through biblical discussions about the saving power of Jesus Christ and what it means for our lives each and every day, starting today.
What up out there, podcast land?
Oh,
it's Pastor
back.
Hank. Just imagine, from the dead. Apparently, Dan talked to me yesterday that I told Drew I was dead. I'm back alive. It's alive.
Oh, my. Oh,
unfortunately, his brain did not wake back up.
What's up?
You just have to know that anything you say as we're preparing to start is fair game.
Oh, yeah.
I got to start saving stuff to after we record.
So, hey, I'm Hank Meadows, pastor of Marion Baptist Church. Whoa! And I got my home slice this Mona.
Hey, you got a little confused.
Yeah, I was confused. Well, I was gonna go back and say something, and then I didn't decide not to say it. In my brain at that moment, it was like a supercomputer that made 15 lane jumps, as you were talking about, Dan,
in
a matter of 0.4 seconds. And so I just came back with home slice. Okay.
My mind was going a mile an hour.
Your mind was going a mile.
My mind is going a mile an hour.
My mind was going a mile an hour. Praise God.
Math checks out. Let's go.
Yeah. And then over there, we hear old Bino.
Old fucking eyes here. Yeah. Let's go.
I think he likes funkin' eyes.
It's stuck.
Okay. I'm going with it.
There it is.
Kim Vanderhyde, don't punch me. You punched me once about it.
That's right.
He brought it up.
Don't punch me out, Bruce easily.
So what's up, y'all?
Hey.
So when this drops, Mona and I will be in
Brazil.
Brazil. Hopefully not getting a mosquito-borne disease.
Hopefully
I feel
not.
Like that's always the hope. That's just a general hope.
That just sort of lays out there all the time. But so yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody good?
We're good.
And you guys are out there, what, 2 weeks? 1 week? 1 week.
No.
1 week, but we missed 2 Sundays.
Okay.
Because we leave on Sunday, and so it's literally the same thing in reverse. So we leave here on Sunday, get there on Monday. We leave there on Sunday, get back here on Monday. So we book in Sunday, Mondays.
Yeah.
And in the middle, we do nothing but work.
Right. We're going to Argentina and Paraguay, as well as Brazil.
Fantastic.
And Brazil.
We're going to have another special when you guys get back. We're going to do another little special.
Sure.
Yeah.
We have no special guest.
Hey, that's okay.
Because it'll just be me and old Mona. Unless we get Rick or Jared or somebody to.
That would be cool.
Because there's 7 of us on the team.
Mm.
Yep.
We got to get Rick on here. That'd be great.
We absolutely do. Yeah. Let me work on that.
Yeah.
You know what? I may get him down that day. When we come back, we'll try to work it so that he comes down.
That'd be fantastic.
May have to be a lunch.
Hey,
though.
If asked what's needed for that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that. So anyway, we're still in Acts chapter 20. We're trying to get through this one half of a chapter, man. Really what it is. I think we're going to finish up today, but I don't know. So we're going to start today.
I think 29, because I think we did through 28.
Well, read 28, though.
Okay.
And then read down through, I don't know, just read.
Okay. All right. Acts 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Good enough.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time where we can come together and study your word and share it with those who would hear it, Lord. And we just pray that this time be a time where you're glorified and lifted up, and let those who need that word and don't know you hear it through this vessel. And again, above all things, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So let's just jump in right here. So we talked about last week about the church and the love for it and what we need to do. Excuse me. And here's why one part that we didn't deal with last week. While I'll never give up on the church, or the church will never go away, that last little phrase of verse 28, that he obtained with his own blood. Those that say, and I've heard it say, that the church age has gone on, you know, gone by, and it's more about this or that, and, you know, I think you're wrong.
Great.
No, that's a lie. I know you're wrong.
I was about to say, I think you'd go a little stronger than think. Yeah,
I'm going to say you're wrong, because Jesus bought it with his own blood. So, but then he goes into this, and this is where we're going to sort of be at today. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise, men speaking twisted things to draw away their disciples after him. So, and I told you guys that really what that one verse is about is conflict within the church. And it's the, to which Mona obviously looked at me like I had 14 heads and went, really? Conflict? I was always talking about. Yeah. I know it's speaking of people and it's this spirit of animosity and spirit of whatever. But what the enemy wants to do is just rip the church apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Paul just described them. Your translation may say savage wolves. And so any opening thoughts, salvos from you two?
Well, I think the reason I'm going to defend myself. I think the reason that I said that was because I see so much more than just conflict, because I see, and I think it's especially prevalent these days with the false teaching and the false, you know, proclaiming what they say is truth but is not true, and people being deceived because of people's words.
And I would agree with you.
So
I gave a very general, broad paintbrush.
Okay. No, I got tickled at first because I thought, you know, she looked flabbergasted that you weren't talking about literal wolves there. And I just imagined that, you know, she grew up in a church where there was an outbreak of actual wolves. And she was like, oh, the scripture's coming true. No, but, you know, there's what stands out to me most is there's kind of two groups here. There's the ones from outside, and then there's the ones that come up from within. Mm-hmm. And you know, you said that the devil essentially uses that. Well, I think especially that second group has the potential to do so much damage. Mm-hmm. Because just like we talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing, we don't expect it. We're always guarding against the outside. And so when it comes up from the inside, it can be detrimental. And we have to be careful not to aid those efforts, not to give them a place to stand and to proclaim these false gospels.
Yeah.
Very true.
And so in talking about these fierce wolves, I wrote down four things I thought about what wolves do when they hunt in packs. And you're not really going to ever find one. Mm. It's going to be several. That's the reason I think Paul uses. Now, I know he's talking about over the broad span of time, but I think he could be also talking about individual churches. You're going to have, they run in packs. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about wolves, and I was trying to paint this picture. And number one, fierce wolves will dictate where you go. Mm-hmm. And that's what a wolf pack does. They dictate as they're running, chasing an animal.
Right.
They have people on the outside that sort of dictate where that animal goes so it can get away from them, and they can run it until it just drops.
And usually that animal, they do it in a way where that animal's not going to notice it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? So sly. And so exactly. Mm-hmm. And what you're just saying, Mona, what if false prophets that rise? They don't just throw you in the deep end with some false religion.
Yep.
They just do it very slyly and cunningly, and they use flattering words, and they use words that some people might say, well, that sounds like that would be a theological, but I just don't know what it means, so I'm going to trust it.
Right.
Yep. And then the next thing you know, what started off as a church that is rock solid had some dude or dudette rise up, especially if it's from within, that you think you can trust. And that they've started slowly but surely turning you. But what did Jesus always say in Scripture? And God always say in Scripture, even though don't turn to the right or to the left.
Yeah, right.
And he's saying, don't ever take your eyes off me. And so when you get led that way, you know, that's what they do. Any thoughts?
Well, just you were talking about what they use. It, you got to be careful because they'll even use scripture.
Yeah.
They'll take it out of context. Yeah. They'll twist it. Yeah. But they'll still use scripture. So you can't just be like, well, it's there. Must be true. You know, you have to, and again, get on my little soapbox. You have to be biblically literate. You have to know the context, the history, all of that, so that you can know when it's being twisted for personal gain.
I think people, we tend to live life based on feelings. I feel like that sounds biblical.
Right.
Yep.
And so if I feel like it sounds biblical, it's got to be biblical.
Yep.
Well, most of everything I've ever heard that people say that about is not biblical at all.
Right.
So, no.
Yeah.
Probably if you say it sounds biblical, probably not.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying all of it can't be, so check it out.
If there's only a way we could
figure it out. Anything about that?
Nope.
Number two, they divide the flock. They start pitting people against each other. Well, you believe this way, and I don't believe that way, so I can't. Especially in today's society, you can't disagree with anybody.
Yep. Right.
Or else you're their arch enemy until Jesus comes.
Right.
You know, I wonder in heaven, when we think about people that we have disagreements with in the church about whatever, we get to heaven, we're just going to look at each other going, bro, I'm sorry about that. You know, I know all is forgiven and all that, but you know, you just want to like, okay, we made a much bigger deal about that than we should have.
Yeah, once you have that heavenly perspective, it's going to seem like such a small deal. Yeah.
But you know, I'm thinking about a wolf pack here, and I, you know, watching documentaries with my son who grew up watching every animal documentary there ever was. When they chase, like they get a herd of deer or whatever, they'll start chasing the whole herd, and then they'll slowly but surely divide them until they've got the one they've narrowed their focus on, and then they go. So anything about that?
No, keep going.
She's not being very talkative today.
I know, right? That's the problem.
Just wait till I get 10 minutes of you just sitting there. No, the thing I was thinking about, though, is even from like a military perspective, like, if you want to get unity in your group, you give them a common enemy.
Yeah.
And so even if there's really no disagreement, if you're one of these wolves and you're looking to solidify your group around you, you're going to find somebody to point to and say, hey, we've got this common enemy, you know.
And then three, they destroy the testimony. They do that. That tags along that last one. You begin to just destroy the testimony of the one you've decided is the enemy. And we go from there. And then number four, devour the flock. Till ultimately, seemingly nothing left.
Right.
And listen, we can look at churches. You can go to the book of the Revelation. Jesus said so many times, you don't do something, I'm going to take your lamp away.
Right.
Yep.
There's no church presence really in Ephesus.
Right.
Which is modern day Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
There's no church presence in all these places where he said, you know, either you change and repent or I'm going to take your lamp from you. Well, how does all those things start? Especially the second one, he says, you got that one that is doing something in your church.
Right.
Stop.
Yep.
And so we allow these things because sometimes we don't want to fight the battle, or we call them the bell cow, and you can't stand against them, and they'll run you out of Dodge.
Yeah.
For you Yankees, that's a whole thing. The one in charge. The bell cow is the one in charge.
Sorry. We have our Yankee translator.
We didn't know. The first time you said that, and we were like, what's the bell cow? I have no idea.
It's a cow with the bell
around. Well, we figured that out.
Heads the herd. Leads the herd. Yeah. But, all right, what do you got?
Well, I was going to circle back up to verse 28, where it says to care for the church, to pay careful attention to the flock and to care for the church. And going back to John 10, where Jesus was talking about him being the shepherd, and he's saying that, you know, the sheep know their shepherd. Mm-hmm. And when one, and I haven't decided, when in verse 12 of John chapter 10, He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And then there's more to that. But so just the basic idea of what Paul is saying here is that you have to tend for your flock. And he's going into why, because these wolves are going to come. And so Jesus is saying that if you're not really their shepherd, you're not going to care for them. Mm. And when these problems come up and when these divisions come up and when these conflicts come up, you're just going to let it ride and you're just going to let it do what it's going to do because you don't care for your flock. You're not really their shepherd. And so we have to take that, the two of those things together, and make sure that if you are a pastor, if you are an overseer of a flock, that you truly care for them, as Paul is saying.
Mm-hmm. And in that, or just if you love your church.
Yeah, right. Just
you can't sit by while these things go on. You cannot just say, well, I don't want to stir the pot. Well, there are times that the pot has to be fed.
Right.
There are times when you have to stand up and take a stand on behalf of Jesus. This is where you got to be really, really careful, not on your personal preference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or your pride or, yeah. Yep.
But for the word of God and for his church. And that's why, like for you, the way to combat this is with sound biblical doctrine from the pulpit. From the pulpit, from the Sunday school class, from any time they're gathered together, there's got to be sound doctrine where you're being taught the truth. Anytime you get something that just doesn't sit right, dude, you need to run and check it against Scripture.
Well, and I'm gonna go back one step further than where Mona was at on verse 28 there. Right before what she covered, it said, pay careful attention to yourselves first. And so you've got to make sure that you're on guard, because I guarantee you there are people out there who have the best of intentions, but because they haven't been careful about who they're following, they're unwittingly, unknowingly causing others to follow false doctrine.
Yep.
You know, and so before you get into protecting your flock, you've got to make sure you understand, you know, where those false prophets are and that you're guarding against those things, or false teachers rather.
Yeah. And so, anything else? Because
I'm looking.
Go a little bit of another turn too.
Go ahead.
And here's what Paul also said: they're going to be in a church that are there for only one reason. To cause conflict. And Paul was saying that the enemy is going to put people in churches that have no desire about the things of God, but they may have walked an aisle. They may have made a profession of faith that was false. They may have been baptized. They could be anywhere from the pastor to deacons to other that the enemy has there to cause a rift.
Right.
And some of you probably go, what do we do then? Well, exactly what you said. Yeah. You have to study Scripture to show thyself approved.
Rightly
dividing the word of God.
Yep.
You've got to listen, and you've got to be on guard.
Yep.
Or you were looking, but
I was looking, but I didn't find anything.
Ripping that. Tell me what you want, and I'll find that for you.
These are his favorite moments in the,
Right? Podcast. No, there's other places that talk about specifically what the wolves are trying to do, but I didn't write it down, so I don't have it. Ooh, where's my bot? Get my. You keep talking, I'll get it.
So, look, and what is the ultimate? And this is really talking about the enemy too, that they want to draw people away.
Mm-hmm.
That's their ultimate goal, is to draw people away. Satan just doesn't want people to love Jesus and love God. And he doesn't want us committed to the church. So he does all this stuff to just draw you away of things that seem nice.
Right, right.
But that they're really wolves in sheep clothing.
And when you look at some of these, I'm not calling anybody out, but when you look at some of these, there's some common factors. So first of all, like you said, they don't start off way out here.
You know,
they take one step. And they get a couple others to take a step. And then they play on the weaknesses that they perceive. So if they know that somebody, you know, is struggling with their pride, they're going to give them a false sense of power. Yep. Well, I have a special job for you. You're going to serve this specific, you know, position for me. And so they start taking note of what weaknesses are out there in the family of God. and they start picking them off. So again, having that, first of all, you know, being in God's word, and then having that support system that keeps pointing you back to God's word, so that, you know, you may be weak in something, but you have a brother in Christ who's not. So they kind of look out for you when those things are happening, and they have to be willing to, like you were saying, speak up out of love, but still speak up and say, hey, man, I see you kind of following this isn't good, and here's why, and pointing back to Scripture.
You got to have Paul's in your life, man. And I literally had that conversation with Ed and Terry today of, you know, the fact that there's a dude that I can go to and just say, without hesitation, go, is my theology right?
Right.
Or am I right? Who's in the wrong here, me or them?
Right.
Yep.
Am I handling it correctly? And there have been times that they have looked at me and said, brother, you're just wrong.
And you can trust them to give honest answers about it. Yeah.
I mean, but you better have on your big boy britches.
In case you are wrong.
And they told me.
Right. The times when you are.
Yep. You know, they've just looked at me and said, brother, I just don't think you handled that correctly.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about a humbling moment. And I you know, at first you want to go, but wait. Yeah. You guys are my friends. Yeah. And they would just help me. They'd be the first to say, yeah, I love you.
Yeah.
But I love you so much, I'm not going to let you have falsehood in your life. And when you're wrong, I'm going to tell you. Not because I want to, you know, upset you and hurt you.
Yeah.
But I want you to walk closer to Jesus, and I wanted you to act more godly. I mean, seriously, there have been times they've been like, don't do that ever again, Hank. Mm-hmm. I mean, that'll...
That doesn't feel good.
I mean, and they just are like, Hank, you're the one at error. So you got to have those people in your life. You don't want to be surrounded by yes men.
Mm.
Did you find your little wolf thing?
But it's not. It's fine.
I figured it was the way you shut that book real quick.
All of that waiting.
I know. Well, but I will go back to what I was saying before about how, so the teaching that is out there that is so wrong. And I mean, so we're leaving for Brazil and I'm looking for books to take with me to read. I don't think we're going to have that much time to read, but.
That's the reason I'm only carrying this one really small one. It's like 100 pages.
We do have a lot of time in the airport and the airplane.
We don't have a lot of time in the airport. We have a lot of time on the airplane.
That's true. Not as much. Okay. So anyway, looking for books. And I mean, I am scrolling through all of the Christian nonfiction books and Christian living. And it doesn't matter if it's a Christian bookstore or, you know, christianbook.com, whatever it is. There are so many books that are not biblical and being sold as biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary because I know mostly well enough. I've been tripped up with books.
Yeah.
And so I just keep thinking of the ones who are new to the faith or the ones who haven't taken the time to study God's word and how do they know that these books, these things that have been written are not biblically accurate? And it's scary. And so, it's something that, you know, that hope, as you have been saying, that, you know, we would speak up against and educate people. But I think even more than that, and you might have been saying this when I was trying to find what I didn't find, but
that's a nice way to say when I wasn't listening. That was a nice way of saying that.
Well, I was away from the microphone.
I don't have ADD, so I can't pay attention to things at one time. But
I think three or four, but
I know.
I can't even pay attention to one at a time.
Now I can't remember what I was going to say. I honestly don't remember. So Dan was saying you have to know the word, you have to be literate in the word. And so we not only have to make sure that we're preaching and teaching the word, but that we're individually in the word. And I know that Dan said that. And so I honestly can't remember what I was going to say. I'm done.
Okay.
But you're not that fast.
No, you're right. And I get so frustrated because I try to do the same thing. I try to weed out what's not biblical out of these books because there's plenty.
Right.
But what makes me so frustrated is I'm like, all right, I'll get about a quarter way through and realize, and like,
oh.
I just wasted my money and time on this mess. That's why I would encourage any new believer or anybody just beginning to get into God's word and begin a relationship with God. You know, it's tempting to go out because we all have this idea of like changing the external first. So there'll be people, I'm going to go out and buy all these books about. look, get into just God's word.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that. Right. I mean, I say that about, you know, I don't read maybe one or two self-help books, but I mean, I just don't read them because I don't need that. If
that's
I know what the
more
word
than I read.
I mean, I just say that in case I'm not, I don't want to say I never read them because just in case I did once and I don't remember. But if you read God's word and you study God's word, then you will know mm-hmm. what you need for your life. You'll know how to live. You'll know how to be a better person.
get that God
you
help instead
that,
of that self-help.
Right?
Yeah.
And Paul says this in verse 32, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Mm-hmm. And so that's all we need. And so that's why the books that I want to read are the books that are telling me more about mm-hmm. what God's word says.
Because what does Bruce say? And I'll give it to Bruce. Grace is the catalyst
yes,
for change.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
It's a great statement.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah, hey, never forget. And I look, what you guys have seen on the thing, I've got books galore.
Right.
But never forget, God wrote one.
Yes. And that's
don't ever put right. that one away. Yep. That's always got to be at the top of your reading and the top every day, but before mm-hmm. any other reading occurs, because every other book has to match that.
Right.
Yep.
That doesn't match. And I don't care who it is.
Right.
From the big names, yep. from right. Billy Graham down.
Exactly.
He can make an error.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
God's word is not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I would say this too, because I see this happening a lot. You know, you have your study Bibles and it has the notes at the bottom and there. And you talked about something on the Grace of Grace that like I was like walking down the road and wanted to scream. But people will use.
I do.
No, it was a good. It was a good thing. But people will use those notes as if that's the word of God.
Oh, yeah.
And those
yeah.
notes are not the word of God. Those yeah. notes are the notes of people. And I'm a writer, and so I'm telling you, God's word trumps it all.
Yeah.
And but you were talking about the Goose of Grace about somebody that was preaching on just the title, yes. the heading title. Yes. I cannot take that. Like that's not God's word.
Like it could be a useful tool to kind of give you a heads up,
yeah, sure,
but it's not.
Sure.
Yeah, when the dude wrote it, when John wrote yeah. when Luke wrote this, he didn't write Paul in Macedonia and Greece.
Right. Let me get my subtitle here. We gotta,
you know. So
yeah. yeah. So those are our soapboxes.
Yeah. yeah.
All right. Big thoughts.
Oh my!
He just gave us a 5-minute warning 10 minutes ago.
World.
That's how my time works. We got 3 minutes.
So I'm going to go back to John 10 and that we have to know our shepherd. And when we know our shepherd and we know our shepherd's voice, and that comes from knowing his word, then we know if it's a ravenous wolf mm-hmm. that is coming after us and not the shepherd. And so we really need to know his voice
yeah.
and know him.
I'm a lazy bum. I'm going to piggyback on yours as I often do. No, the same thing. You got to know the shepherd. So, because if you don't, you're not going to have that love for his flock that makes you so protective over it.
Yeah.
Again, it's not a social club. It's not just somewhere where people hang out because we all always get along and have the same thoughts and all. No, it's literally designed by God to carry out the work and be the body of Christ. So, yeah, if you don't know the shepherd, you're not going to love the flock.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a word of caution, though. When you think you may have a fierce wolf or a savage wolf in your midst, I would still say make sure you're patient
mm-hmm.
and don't jump at your first thought of that.
Because
yeah. it could be you that's in the
yeah.
in error.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they'll continually show themselves to be
the
that
pattern.
Savage
yep.
wolf that is destructive, not constructive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that one that is always negative Nelly, that one has always got something that finds the dark cloud in a beautiful service or whatever, that one that's just looking, just give it time and God will make it clear. So don't take it that you're the harbinger of all things good or bad. Right, I'm not right. saying that today.
Batman of the church.
Yeah, not saying that. But I'm just saying be aware. And I'm not saying there's going to be in every church at all times. I'm just saying that Paul said that they would come along. And I'll end with this. The one thing that the enemy does want to do other than keep people from the cross, from Jesus, is to keep you out of church.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
and to destroy the church itself, which he never will.
Right.
But that's what he wants to do.
Right.
All right. All right, let's pray. Father, God, we love you, and God, we love your church. I know I speak for all three of us. This living body of believers that you called into existence in your time here, and that you died for, that you shed your blood for, that you gave life to. God, I pray your protection around it. I pray that all churches would be living examples, Lord, of you and your love for us. And so, God, thank you for this opportunity to speak. God, go ahead of us as we prepare to go to Brazil and Paraguay and Argentina, and be with us. But, Lord, we love you, and thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, I'm Hank Meadows, lead pastor of Marion Baptist Church. I got my home slice, Miss Mona.
Hey, hey.
I got old pumpkin eyes over there.
Sounds so good.
Oh, so good. All right, y'all. See you next time.
Bye, y'all. Beep, beep.